Take your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter 4. We did the first 11 verses last week when we talked about the temptations of that Jesus went through in the wilderness with Satan. And so we start in verse 12 tonight of Matthew chapter 4. In fact, let me read verses 12 and 13 as we get started. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. So we know the story. Herod had cast John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist, into prison. John the Baptist had told Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. And again, we know the rest of the story, too. Later on, Herod, when Herodias, his wife's daughter, had danced for Herod, and Herod said, I'll give you whatever you want to the half of my kingdom, and she was coached by her mother, and she asked Herod for the head of John the Baptist. And so Herod had to keep his promise, and he sent his executioner, and they beheaded John the Baptist and brought his head to this girl on a platter. So, he had been cast into prison. When Jesus heard that, he moved from Nazareth in the south to Capernaum in the north. Of course, Nazareth was his hometown. Capernaum was the hometown of several of his disciples. It was a seacoast town. And again, Matthew doesn't give us the details of the move. The Gospels, they don't attempt to parallel one another. Each of the Gospels was written to a specific target audience. It was written for a specific purpose. And none of them it was meant to be the complete biography of Christ. That couldn't be written. In fact, John said in the last chapter of his Gospel, if everything that Jesus did was written down, the world couldn't contain the books. And so none of the Gospels are a biography, but again, they were each written to a specific group of people for a specific purpose. Matthew, again, was written to present Jesus as the Jewish king. Okay, so he was writing to Israel. In fact, the book of Matthew was actually written in Hebrew because it was written to the Jews. Now, the other Gospels tell us that Jesus was rejected in his hometown, that he couldn't do many miracles there because the people did not believe him. And so he moved to Capernaum, and it became sort of his headquarters for his entire ministry until he went back he visited Jerusalem on occasion, but he always came back to Capernaum and used that as his headquarters. Now, Matthew tells us, again, in keeping with why he wrote the book, again, he was trying to show the Jews that Jesus was the promised king, okay, the promised Messiah, and so he quotes Old Testament prophecy more than any of the gospel writers. So he tells us in verses 14 through 16 that it might be fulfilled. The fact that Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Now, again, because Matthew's trying to convince the Jews that Jesus is their king, he quotes Old Testament prophecy. In this instance, it was from the book of Isaiah, a couple different places, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. Now, in Jesus' day, there was a well-known, very opulent resort around the sea, resort section around the Sea of Galilee, and again, it was it was uh, It was opulent. It was very well fashioned, however you want to say it. And a lot of well-off people spent their time around the Sea of Galilee. In the summer, it was cool. I mean, because of the winds that came in off the sea. But history tells us that this regent was very worldly and wicked. The people were very far from God. They didn't have a relationship with God. And as the Bible says there, they set in darkness. They set in the darkness of sin. A great light, it says there, a great light sprung up. And of course, that light was the light of the world, was Jesus. And they in that area witnessed many of his miracles. Probably they saw more miracles than any other group of people that Jesus did miracles in front of. And yet, there was little response to those miracles. There was little response to his teaching. There was little response to his preaching. In fact, later on in Matthew, Jesus would pronounce judgment on them when he'd say, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin," talking about the people that lived in this area. And so, again, it was fulfilling the prophecy that Isaiah had spoken hundreds of years before. Verse 17, from that time, from the time that he moved to Capernaum, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He picked up right where John the Baptist left off. You remember, that was the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John baptized people as a sign of their repentance. And so Jesus preached the same message, but it went a little bit further than John the Baptist's message did. He said, repent, turn around, and come to me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because I am here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because it's here in the person of the king. They couldn't have the kingdom of heaven unless they had the king. So they couldn't have the kingdom of heaven without Jesus. And again, we talked about last week, the kingdom of heaven is the rule of heaven on earth. Now, Jesus will come one day to set up and rule this earth. Hadn't happened yet. But he will come and he will rule this earth. But he was there. The king of heaven was there. And so he said, the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand. Repent and come to me. Look at verse 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so, when he moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, he's launching his earthly ministry. Again, we read about him being baptized, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now Jesus is beginning to gather his disciples about him. And again, if we look at all four Gospels, there were at least three meetings between Jesus, Peter, and Andrew before they fully surrendered to the call. The first one is recorded in John chapter 1 at the tail end of the chapter. You remember, Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. One day Jesus passed by, and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Andrew and another disciple, probably Philip, followed Jesus, and Jesus said, what are you looking for? And they said, well, we want to just see where you live. And Jesus said, come and see. And the Bible says that Andrew and Philip went home and spent the day with Jesus. Now, I'm sure they talked. And they talked about the things of God. They talked about heaven. And again, they had heard John the Baptist, their master, who they were following, say, hey, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one that I've come to prepare the way for. This is the Messiah. And so after spending the day with Jesus, the Bible says that Andrew found his brother Simon and said, Simon, we have found the Messiah. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw Simon, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. But there's no record in that particular meeting of Jesus calling Andrew and Simon, or Peter, as we later know him, to be a disciple. Now, the second meeting was probably this one, by the Sea of Galilee. Again, they had seen him before, but he had not called him to be a disciple at that time. This time, he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, we're going to read it in just a minute. Well, we'll just read it now. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And so they followed him for a while. But at some point, they went back to fishing. And there was a third meeting that's not recorded in the book of Matthew, but it's recorded in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. This was the occasion Jesus was teaching and preaching by the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd pressed him, like they were going to get so, you know, how you want to be close. Well, they were pressing him into the sea. And so there were two ships there, and one of them was Peter's. And Jesus got into the ship and said, Peter, could you just cast off a little bit? Andrew was probably in the boat with him. Cast off a little bit. I want to use your boat, your ship, as a pulpit, as a platform and a pulpit. And so Jesus sat on that ship and taught the people that were on the shore. Now, again, Peter and Andrew had probably already had two encounters with Jesus. But again, they were sort of a captive audience. They were in the boat with him, so they had to hear him teach and preach whatever he taught that day. When he got done, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Peter said, Lord, he said, Master, we have toiled all night. We have fished all night and have taken nothing. Taken nothing. Now, again, Peter was an experienced fisherman. He probably knew that Jesus was a carpenter. He probably said, carpenters don't know nothing about fishing. What? But he said this, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I don't believe it's going to do any good. I mean, you don't go fishing in the daytime. Any fisherman knows that. You fish at night. But he said, because you told me to, I'm going to do it. So they let down the net. They caught, the Bible says, a great multitude of fish that the net began to break. Now, the other boat near the shore was James and John. They were partners of Peter and Andrew in the fishing business. And so Peter calls out, John, bring your boat out here. And so the other boat comes out there, and they start to take the fish out of the net and put them into the boats, and the boats begin to sink. I mean, they caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. And verse 11 in Luke chapter 5 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, notice the difference. They're both, in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. In Luke chapter 5, verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The second meeting, they followed Jesus for a while, but they didn't forsake everything. They didn't turn their back on everything, and as a result, they went back to fishing. The third time when Jesus called, and again, if you were fishermen and saw what happened that day when they caught all these fish and the boats began to sink, any reservation you had about following Christ would be gone. And when he called this time, the Bible says they forsook all. They gave everything up. They broke their ties with their fishing business and with their James and John, with their father. And we're going to read about them in a minute. But they forsook all and they followed Jesus, and there was no turning back. Now, it's a wonder that Jesus called these men. They were uneducated fishermen. They were imperfect men. But Jesus used them to turn the world upside down, as reported in the book of Acts. Now, if Jesus could use men like Peter and Andrew and James and John and the talents and the abilities that they had, then he can use any of us. You don't have to be a super saint to be used of Jesus. Jesus will take the talents and the abilities that, by the way, he gave us in the first place, and knows what he wants us to do when he made us and gave us those abilities and talents. But when he calls, we need to answer and make ourselves available, and if need be, do like these fishermen did, forsake all and follow him. And he will use us just like he used them. They knew how to catch fish. He said, I'm going to teach you to catch men. Now, some of you may be a fisherman. Most of us are not. We have different talents, different abilities. And Jesus said, I'll use your talents and abilities in a way that I can't use somebody else's. I will use yours in a unique way to be part of my ministry, to be part of reaching the world with the gospel. And so all we have to do is make ourselves available. All we have to do is say like Isaiah did when God called him, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And by the way, God doesn't ask us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. I've known people that said, well, God's called me to do this, but I can't do it. And I said, why not? If God called you, he'll give you what you need to do it. All you got to do is be willing. All you got to do is make yourself available. And God will help you do what he wants you to do. Okay, look at verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And so, again, these two brothers, this was they were at this meeting. They were also in Luke chapter 5. And again, the same thing is true about them. Here, they left the ship and their fathers, but they came back. In Luke chapter 5, when Jesus called them again, they forsook all. They left everything. They broke the ties with their dad. They broke the ties with the business, and they became Jesus' disciples. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he taught in the Jewish synagogues. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, is that it's at hand. I am here. The gospel is at hand in the person of the king. What they needed to do is receive and accept him. Notice also that it says he's healing their physical illnesses. We don't think about the numbers, but I'm going to point out to you the words in just a minute. I think there were literally thousands of people healed when Jesus was in this part of his ministry. I mean, we read in Mark chapter 2, he went back to Capernaum. And the Bible says the house was so full that you couldn't even get into it. And the Bible says that they brought every sick person that was ill, people that were crippled, people that were filled with the devil, they brought every person in that town to Jesus, and he healed them. He healed them. I mean, it would be like Jesus today going into McLaren and emptying out the place, and then going to Hurley and emptying out the place, and then going to Genesis and emptying out the place. I mean, can you imagine the stir and the publicity that would get? I mean, the headlines: Hurley emptied out, McLaren emptied out, Genesis emptied out. I mean, he literally healed. And that's why his enemies could not refute the miracles that he did, because there were so many of them walking around. I mean, there were so many of them like the blind man They said, how'd you get healed? I said, well, I don't know. A man made mud and put it on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I was blind, now I can see. Well, who was? Well, I don't know who it was. I know one thing, I was blind, but now I can see. And Jesus healed their diseases. Verses 24 and 25. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all, notice the word all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. They brought all people to him. Matthew describes the conditions in that verse, and the Bible says that he healed them. Now notice verse 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Decapolis was a district. It had 10 cities. It was in the northeast part of Galilee, east of the Jordan River. And so people came from there. They came from Jerusalem, which wasn't that far from Capernaum. They came from Judea. They came from beyond Jordan. They came from Syria. They came from all over. First of all, they brought their sick people with them because Jesus healed them all. And then they came to hear the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, again, Matthew doesn't try to give us a complete chronological history of what Jesus did. He's presenting Jesus as king. He's presenting Jesus, and he's presenting events in Jesus' life that show that he came from heaven, has the power over disease, that he is indeed the king that the Old Testament prophesied about. He is the Messiah. And again, every prophecy that Matthew points to from the Old Testament is to show, hey, here's Jesus. He's fulfilling these prophecies. He is the king that the Old Testament prophets talked about. And again, he was making the case to Israel that their king had come. And he was making it clear. And yet, many rejected the testimony that Matthew gave. Many rejected the miracles that Jesus gave. And again, in doing that, they fulfilled another Old Testament prophecy that said, well, they have eyes, but they won't see. They have ears, but they won't hear. And they ignored the message that Jesus brought. They ignored the prophecies that he fulfilled, and they rejected him. And we look back and we read it and we say, how sad. These were God's chosen people. And here was Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies in the Old Testament about what the king was going to do when he came, and yet they rejected him. They rejected him. And we look back and we say, how sad. They missed the king. They missed the Messiah. But how sad it is today when we have the whole book. We have the whole book. I mean, in Jesus' day, they just had the Old Testament. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have the epistles that Paul wrote. They didn't have the book of Revelation that tells us what's going to be. And we have the whole book. And yet, and we've seen how this book has been true. It's been proven. As prophecies have been fulfilled, not only from the Old Testament, not only about the king coming, but in his birth and in his death and in his ascension into heaven. And yet, how sad it is today that people reject this truth and reject the Savior. Ought not to stop us from telling them about it, but how sad it is when people reject it. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will be in here for prayer. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.